نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب زدني علما اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال الله عز وجل واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما انزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من احد حتى يقولا انما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من احد الا باذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون Verses 102 and 103 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Today we're going to talk about magic, what its status is in Islam, what its reality is, what about the status of the magician, to what extent can the magician expect his magic to work, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen, and what is the outcome of this act for the magician. Then we'll discuss, inshallah, the cures available to us for magic from sources of the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, the verse that I just read out was taken from Surah Al-Baqarah. I read it out. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And they followed what the devils used to recite in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved. They used to teach people magic. The reference is to Bani Israel, the Jews. Briefly, what happened in Sulaiman alayhi salam's time was, we know that he had been given power over the jinns. This was part of his unique kingdom. This was a gift from Allah. Now, the jinns used to spread and practice black magic. Sulaiman alayhi salam collected from them their collection of black magic and buried all these books beneath his throne. When Sulaiman alayhi salam died, some say it was Satan who caused the people to dig up those books, and this terrible rumor spread amongst the people that Sulaiman alayhi salam was, na'uzu billah, a magician and a sorcerer who used to practice black magic. To refute this monstrous allegation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this verse that it was not Sulaiman alayhi salam who committed this terrible crime of black magic, وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا, rather it was the devils who used to practice black magic. They used to teach people magic, and that which was revealed to the two angels in the city of Babel, Harut and Marut. Now Harut and Marut were not devils, they were two angels, and these angels were sent to earth as a test for all mankind. They were given knowledge of magic, and as we read in the verse, they would not teach anyone until they had first said, indeed we are a trial, فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, so do not commit kufr. In other words, these angels used to warn categorically anyone who came to them to learn magic that we have been sent as a test. This is a knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of, which He has condemned as being kufr. So do not commit kufr, and in other words, do not learn magic. Allah goes on to say, but the people used to learn from them both that whereby they could cause separation between a man and his wife. Although they are different forms of magic, and magic is practiced for different reasons, which we'll discuss in the course of the lecture, inshallah. This is one of the most common forms of magic and one of the most hated with Allah, when magic is practiced just to cause separation between a man and his wife, to cause discord between them, to cause separation and ultimately divorce between a man and his wife. This happens very commonly in our society, unfortunately, but here Allah condemns it as being one of the most satanic of all actions. And they could not harm thereby anyone except by the consent of Allah. This, inshallah, as we shall discuss, is the limit of the magician's power. That in actual fact, it's not that the magician has been given whatever he wants to achieve, because this is something that perplexes many and makes them start having doubts about Iman. That if we're saying La ilaha illallah, how come there's some guy out there or some woman out there who is our enemy, can harm us in whatever way they feel? No, this is the key phrase that you must remember throughout the course of this talk. Bi-idhnillah, it happens with the consent of Allah. And these people, in other words, the magicians, those who are learning black magic, music are learning something that will harm them and it will never benefit them. And indeed they knew that whoever buys it, in other words, whoever practices it or learns it or teaches it, مَالَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ, he will have no share in the hereafter, because magic is kufr. And indeed evil is that for which they sold their own selves. An interesting word that we'll discuss. If only they knew, and if only they had believed, and they had been Allah conscious, a reward from Allah would have been far better if they but knew. This was the verse given to us in Al-Baqarah, which gives us a brief introduction as to the nature of magic. Now, what exactly is magic all about? And this is what we're going to discuss today. Magic is something that is denied by many, that many people skeptically scoff at it. I don't believe in magic. I don't believe it exists. That's one extreme which is untrue. Then there's the other extreme, people who are so paranoid that they have one headache and they're convinced someone's bewitched them. Both extremes are wrong, but we need to look at the rational, moderate picture that Islam gives to us. So what exactly is meant by magic? The word used to describe magic in the Quran is sihr, seen ha ra. Sihr means literally an effect the cause of which is not apparent. In other words, something happens to you and there seems to be no cause for it. Now this could be a physical manifestation. You know, for instance, suddenly people sometimes start experiencing strange physical symptoms. They're having these terrible blinding headaches. They've gone to the doctors. They've had a CT scan. They've had all their checkups. They've had all their tests. Everything's clear. The doctors say there is no reason for you to be having these headaches, but nonetheless, the headaches persist. Sometimes people literally start hallucinating. They start seeing strange sights. They start seeing blood stains everywhere, or they see blood stains on the sheets or on their clothes or on the walls and no one else can see them. These are strange sights that only the victim is able to see. Sometimes people experience terrible pain, extreme agony in their bodies, but when they go to the doctor, there's nothing wrong with them physically. So what is this? This is magic. This is something, the effect, the cause of which is unknown. Now, Imam Ghazali defined magic and he said, magic is a contract, and remember it's a contract with the devil, or incantations. Incantations are words written or spoken, or something done which will affect the body, mind or heart of the one bewitched. In other words, magic can affect your body that you fall sick. It can affect your mind that you start hallucinating, you start forgetting things or whatever. And it can affect your heart that you're extremely depressed, that you're crying all day long, for instance, without actually coming into contact with you. Now, it's not necessary that you have even met the person who is doing this magic on you. It's not necessary that the magician has access to you physically for the magic to work. It can be done by someone who's never met you in his life. But nonetheless, magic does exist. And the question arises that how on earth can Islam, such a logical, such a precise, such a reasonable religion, explain something which seems as far-fetched and as supernatural as magic, right? So let's take a look at it rationally. We know that we live in a twofold dimension, material and spiritual. Just as we, if I were to speak of myself, what am I? I am a body and I am a soul within that body. And both are intimately connected. My physical well-being will have an effect upon my spiritual state or my emotional state. You know, when you're feeling healthy and you're feeling energetic, then you feel happy. And my spiritual well-being will affect my physical well-being. Sometimes you're depressed, you're upset, you're hurt by someone's words, and physically it's like you're drained, which is very strange. You know, someone is very cruel to you, someone hurts you or breaks your heart, as the saying goes. What happens? Physically you feel drained. Now why are you feeling physically drained? Nothing's happened to you physically. This is the effect of the spiritual influences upon our spirit. Let me give you another example. If I were to strike this desk with my hand would hurt because matter came into contact with matter. In the same way, when unseen, invisible influences like words or voices or other influences affect my spirit, then my spirit will respond to that. For instance, why is it that when someone praises you, you feel happy? And if someone were to swear at you or curse you or abuse you, why would you feel upset about that? Or why would you feel depressed because of that? This is the result of the external influences upon your spirit. And this is exactly what magic is. Now many philosophers say that there are certain words and phrases which already possess a certain effectiveness within themselves, and when these words or phrases are recited or written a certain number of times, they produce a specific result. And most of magic is about words. Words, evil words, satanic words, read a certain number of times, repeated in a certain way, in a certain style, or at a certain time. This is what magic is all about. This is one of the most common forms of magic. What happens that it affects your spirit, it affects your ruh, and there are forms of magic that can cripple, literally cripple the victim's spirit to the extent that he loses interest in life. You know, some victims of magic fall prey to depression, and they are so depressed that nothing seems able to bring them out of that melancholy. Some victims fall physically sick because, as I mentioned, the body and the spirit are intimately linked. And they fall so sick that parents despair of ever seeing their children healthy. Some forms of magic are aimed at blocking the marriage of a certain girl or a certain boy. You know, this is what the black magic is aimed at, preventing that this person should be unable to get married. And strange, extraordinary things will happen, that the proposal is coming. It was going to happen, and suddenly something goes wrong and you can't figure out what happened because the marriage is being blocked. Sometimes conception is being blocked, that a woman is perfectly able, healthy, but she's unable to conceive. She's unable to produce a normal, healthy child. Either she's miscarrying and there seems to be no physical reason for it. Doctors say there's no reason why this child can't survive. Obviously, and this is the important point, this is all happening by the consent of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as if Allah allows a murder to take place, then the murderer will be punished for that crime. Obviously, that victim was destined to die, but that does not in any way absolve the murderer from the crime of murder. That we say, oh yeah, well, you know, the victim was destined to die in this way, so it's not the murderer's fault. No, it's the murderer's fault. It's a different matter that the death was destined to take place, and this is precisely the case with magic. It's happening bi-idhnillah, but that does not in any way mitigate the horror of what this evil magician is actually doing. Now, there are forms of magic, and there are different forms of magic. For instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Inna min al-bayani la-sihrun," that there is a kind of speech which is like magic. You know, you've heard of the expression spellbinding eloquence. What does it imply? That someone is so eloquent, someone is so interesting that when he speaks, you want to go on listening. It's like they've cast a spell on you. You can't move, you can't think of anything else. You're entranced, bewitched. These are words that we use to imply someone's control over you or someone's impact upon you, that, oh, you know, bewitchingly eloquent or dazzlingly beautiful. What do these words imply? That they have such a powerful impact upon you. And this is again a form of magic, like a form of magic. Now, this was one reason, interestingly enough, why the Quran was called magic by hardened pagans. Because the Quranic speech, when heard even by pagans, enemies of Islam, it had an impact on them. Their faces would start changing. It was literally as if the Quran was casting a spell on them. This is magic. And so the pagans, they used to actually, without realizing it, this is magic. That why does this speech have such a powerful effect on people? How can it transform people? Now, all of this goes to show that there are forms of magic. Magic does exist, and it's denying part of our deen to say, no, it doesn't exist. And it's ridiculous. That's like saying Shaitan does not exist. We know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own lifestyle that he himself was bewitched. Now, all that happened on him was that these Jews cast a spell on him, and this in no way impaired his iman. It in no way impaired the revelation that we say now, Al-Tubillah, that, you know, the revelation was affected because that was during the time that he was bewitched. Not at all. All that happened was that he became a little forgetful. And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to teach us, A, the solution, that there is a cure for magic, because this is what he taught us from his sunnah. And secondly, that if it can happen to him, it can happen to any one of us. And this is an important point to remember. Now, let's take a look at the different forms that magic can take. Basically, as we discussed, sihr is when you use supernatural means to impose your will on someone else, to impose your wishes on someone else. For instance, there's one very common form of magic visual deception or sleight of hand, or call it what you will. Now, we know it's just tricks, right? It's all up his sleeve, that he's pulling this huge sheet out of his sleeve, and it seemed like there was just one handkerchief there, but suddenly there are 20 handkerchiefs, sawing a lady in half, the vanishing trick, all of these, you know, Houdini's famous tricks. All of this stuff, you can understand that there is generally a hidden compartment, or there's some form of deception that's taking place, but it's nothing that's violating the laws of nature. But there's another form of magic, which many, or I should say some magicians also practice. Now, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this. And this is also known as a form of mesmerism, or you're hypnotizing the people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation of these verses about Musa alayhi salam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the magicians, سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ, they bewitched the eyes of the people. And what happened was that they kind of hypnotized the people, mesmerized them into believing. Allah says, يُخَيَّلُوا إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى, that even Musa alayhi salam was taken in, and it seemed to him, the words are يُخَيَّلُوا إِلَيْهِ, it seemed to him, because of their magic, that the ropes, the sticks that they threw down were actually running. He thought for a moment, he knew they were not snakes, but it appeared to him really strongly, really vividly, that these are actually snakes and they're writhing and they're twisting. Now, the point here is that a prophet of Allah is being deceived in this manner, and it says in the verses, which we'll read in a little while inshallah, that he felt fear. He felt fear in his heart when he saw this terrible sight. And then Allah reassured him, La tahaf, don't be afraid, you're going to succeed. So this is one form of magic, you know, hypnotism or mesmerism. Then another form of magic, and this is again commonly practiced, but it's a very sick form, which I will mention here, is where a spell or an incantation is performed upon a person to make him or her infatuated with someone else. You know, what you call a love potion or a love charm. And it sounds very romantic, but actually it's disgusting. It is really the most foul thing you can do, that you're playing with someone's emotions and you're forcing them, you're deceiving them, and you're going to end up probably ruining their life. This helps explain stories where you hear that, you know, she was absolutely fine and then I don't know what he did to her, and she ran away with him and she lost everything. She left her family, abandoned her home, didn't care about her honor anymore, disgraced herself, disgraced her family, and then you end with, like, you know, it's as if she went mad, or she was bewitched, or she was possessed. And this is literally what happens in this sick form of magic, that magic is performed. I've heard of cases where marriages have broken up through this sick form of satanic agency, where the perfectly happy married couple, and suddenly the wife becomes obsessed with another man. And she's a perfectly respectable, perfectly decent woman. And this is really a disgusting form of magic, but it does exist and you need to be aware about it. Then there's another form of magic which entails physical transformation, you know, turning a person into something else. Now, all this seems like, you know, it's part of a horror movie, but this does exist. It's said that there was a Jewish scholar who accepted Islam by the name of Ka'b bin Ahbar radiallahu anh. He said, were it not for certain words that I read regularly, the Jews would have transformed me into a donkey. Now, these were serious words. He wasn't just kidding around or to impress the people. What were the words that he taught us? Remember, the Jews were notorious for black magic, are still notorious for this to this day. Now, the dua that he taught us, I'm going to read it. A'udhu bi wajhillahi al-azim alladhi laysa shay'un a'zama minhu wa bi kalimatillahi al-tammati allati la yujawizuhunna birrun wa la fajirun wa bi asma'illahi al-husna kulliha ma 'alimtu minha wa ma lam a'lam min sharri ma khalaqa wa bara'a wa dhara'a. This means, I seek the protection of Allah the Great, greater than whom there is none, and I seek the protection of the perfect words of Allah, which no man, virtuous or wicked, can transcend, and I seek the protection of all the beautiful names of Allah, those I know and those I do not know, from the evil of everything Allah has created, to which He has given existence and which He has spread. A beautiful dua. And as you can see from this dua, that you're imputing complete power and complete confidence in Allah. Because when people go through this terrible situation of having magic done upon themselves or their family members, they go nuts, literally. And they are running to people for help. They're running to soothsayers for help. They're running to people who are going to involve them in more trouble. And somehow reliance upon Allah seems like the last resort. Whereas according to all the words that we have learned from the Quran and Sunnah, La ilaha illallah means Allah above all. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in is not just words. Allah, you above all do we worship. You above all do we turn to for help. Because it happened bi-iznillah, and only bi-iznillah can it be alleviated. Only bi-iznillah can it be removed. Never make the mistake of relying upon people rather than Allah, that you hear, oh, she's really amazing and I know of people, you know, that she's helped out. Go to people, but go to people who are giving you solutions from Quran and Sunnah. Now, remember one thing, that people who are performing black magic, learning black magic, or teaching black magic are people who have generally lost their iman, whether they realize it or not. I mean, sometimes it happens that you know of someone who is actually practicing black magic. I mean, black magic is kufr, learning it, teaching it, practicing it. I mean, even if you're just learning it for the heck of it, oh, I'm just learning it for the fun of it, you know, I'm not really going to do it. Even that is kufr. Remember that. Now, there are different ways that these people actually perform their magic. Generally, it's done through words, and the words are words of shirk. The words are words of kufr. These are words that are supposed to please the devil, in which you're worshipping the devil. You've heard of Satan worshippers, I'm sure. You're, na'uzubillah, imputing blasphemies about Allah. You're uttering evil words about Allah. Then impurities are an integral part of black magic. One of the reasons why it's kufr also, because Islam means purity and enlightenment, and black magic is darkness and ignorance and filth. So what they do is they take impure actions, they take impure droppings. For instance, menstrual blood is used, or satanic actions are encouraged by the devils. Because remember, it's a contract with the devil. It's a contract with a jinn. That look, I'll do this to please you, and you get her for me, or you get him for me, and you take my revenge for me. This is what magic is all about. Generally based on either envy, or on hatred, or revenge, or just sheer evil. Whatever it is, it's all of it is evil. No matter how you might try and justify it, that she did it to my sister, so now I'm going to do it to her, it's still evil. Now what happens is, then they do acts that please the devils. Satanic acts, terrible, vulgar, foul acts like killing someone, or, you know, slaying innocent animals and using their blood. And I am not even going to go into it. But remember, all of these forms of magic, and there's another form of magic, which is when they tie knots and they blow on them. And in the Quran, Allah warns us about this, مِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, from the evil of the women who blow knots and then they tie them. And the knots are supposed to mean that, you know, you're tying up someone's future, you're tying up someone's risk, maybe you're tying up someone's pregnancy or happy marriage or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. Now, this is one important point that you must remember, that magic is based on filth and impurity. It's said that the more impure a magician is, the more successful his magic will be. So that tells you the logical solution for magic is purity. Just as magic is based on filth and ignorance and kufr, then the solution, the way you counteract it, the antidote for this poison is the opposite. Purity and iman and knowledge. That you believe in Allah, that you know what you're supposed to be doing, you know what you're supposed to be reading. Now, let's take a look at the cures for this magic. And these are very important, and they're not just cures, I should mention. These are protective measures. Just as when a little baby is born, you make sure that, you know, all the vaccinations are covered. And you don't wait for that little baby to contract those diseases and then you'll go for the vaccinations. No, better be safe than sorry. You go for the vaccination to protect that little child, to give him immunity from those diseases. And this is precisely what these protective measures are all about. We have a horrible tendency. Shaitan encourages us to be really lazy. Oh, come off it. You don't need it. Who's going to do magic on you? You can always start reading it from next year. If it happens, you can start reading this stuff. You know, we're going to sleep. We know we're supposed to read Ayatul Kursi. Oh, you're so tired today. You can read it tomorrow. No one's going to harm you. Allah will protect you. So never be lazy about reading or following any of the protective measures that I'm going to mention now. Remember, the first cure, the first way that you fight back is by remembering bi-idhnillah. This is going to happen by the consent of Allah. This belief in destiny is something that empowers you, it liberates you from fear of people. Oh my God, she's angry with me. What if she does magic on me? I've heard that she does magic. It frees you from terror. It frees you from being intimidated by people. You know, this is all wasawis from shaitan. You're supposed to ignore them. And how do you ignore them? Bi-idhnillah. This is belief in la ilaha illallah. That if my Allah allows it to happen, it's going to happen no matter where I am or what I'm doing. And if my Allah does not allow it to happen, then there is no power on earth strong enough to make it happen. And this is a very, very empowering belief. Number two, obedience. follow the faraid. Again, something which we neglect. We don't bother to cover up the way we're supposed to cover up when we leave the house. We don't bother to read all our 5 prayers regularly. We don't bother to fast regularly. We're careless about giving our zakat, and then we start whining when things start going wrong. If you're following the faraid, if you're reading your prayers, if you're following the Islamic code of dress and in everything, then inshallah Allah will create a shield of protection around you. Otherwise shaitan is seeking, where can I get her from? Oh, this is a prayer she doesn't pray. This is the time I can get her. This is the time I can attack her. This is the time she'll be vulnerable. Every act of obedience that we skip is like exposing a chink in our armor to shaitan, who, believe me, knows about it. He knows what we're up to. And he knows, because he's studying us all the time, eager to find a chance to attack us. Which is why you notice in your menstrual periods, you should actually do as much zikr as you can. This is a time where you're very prone to satanic influences. You're feeling depressed, you're feeling low, you can't pray, you can't recite the Quran. And women complain of depression, because the reason is you don't have that armor around you anymore. You've had to take it off. So what then? Your enemy can attack you. So this is step number 2. First was yaqeen in Allah. Second was obedience. Third, stay away from haram. Very important point. If you're going to the gatherings of haram, gatherings where wine is being served, where other acts of disobedience are being committed, it's illogical and it's ridiculous to expect Allah's help. Why should Allah help someone who is so flagrantly disloyal? Why should Allah protect someone who shows that he doesn't care about Allah? He doesn't care about Allah's protection. What makes us think that we can walk into a gathering of haram, a gathering where sins are being committed? Premixing is taking place. All forms of disobedient acts are taking place, and then expect complacently and arrogantly, well, my Allah will take care of me because my heart is pure. Sorry, that won't happen. Stay away from haram, stay away from wine, stay away from gambling, stay away from people who are committing haram, because we are going to be raised with the people that we love. Al-mar'u ala dini khalili. A man is on the religion of his best friend. Let him be careful whom he takes for a best friend. Our conversations, our pastimes, if you look at the sins that Allah describes in the Quran. For example, khamar is described as an act of shaitan, and interestingly described as being rijs. Do you know what rijs is? Filth, impurity. And that's what magic is as well. And all forms of filth are connected. They're all similar in nature. Do you know what gossip is? Eating the flesh of your dead brother. That's haram. And again, this is something which is filth. It's impure. How can you eat dead? How can you become a cannibal? And especially for someone to eat the flesh of their dead brother. But this is gossip, which we're so addicted to that we claim there's no fun if you're not gossiping. Stay away from haram, and thus you will increase and strengthen your armor against shaitan and magic. Then point number 4, repentance. And this is very important. Repentance from all sins. Remember, arrogance is a satanic trait. Ana khayrun minhu, I'm better than he. I don't need to repent. It's Allah's fault. Fabima aghwaytani, Allah, you led me astray. Remember, the mu'min is supposed to be in a constant state of istighfar. Constant. You know, we have this attitude that I'll do istighfar when I've done something wrong. Well, even that thought is wrong, because whatever we're doing, it's still not good enough for Allah. We're still going to enter Jannah with the mercy of Allah. And even to think arrogantly is a crime, which is why we're taught ihdina sirat al-mustaqim every rakat, every prayer, every day. Guide me to the straight path. Why? Aren't we still guided? No, we're not. And anyone who imagines foolishly that he is guided is deluding himself. So repentance is very important, because repentance engenders within you humility. The mu'min is not supposed to be scared of people, but he is supposed to be scared of Allah. And we've reversed the order. We're not scared of Allah. We're totally complacent about our crimes and our sins. And we're petrified of people and what people can do to us. People are our gods. Then we come to the 4th, and this is really expressed beautifully in a verse where Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance, and He loves those who purify themselves. Now, repentance and physical purification are linked here, and there's a beautiful connection if you think about it, because repentance is spiritual cleansing. Salah is cleansing yourself from your sins. Wudu is cleansing yourself from your sins. These are both interconnected. When you do wudu, you're physically cleansing yourself. You get on the prayer mat, you're spiritually cleansing yourself. In the same way, repentance is physically and spiritually cleansing yourself. يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ. He loves those who purify themselves. I mentioned earlier, filth is attracted to filth, just as flies are attracted to a garbage dump. And in the same way, if you are someone who is not observing proper hygiene, who's not doing wudu 5 times a day for your salah, who's not into salah, because salah automatically results in purity, whether you're a clean person or not, then you are are actually exposing yourself to the dangers of magic. Just as if there's an open garbage dump or even an open garbage can and the lid is not on, flies are inevitably going to be attracted there. They can't help it, right? So one major way of protecting yourself from magic is stay pure and stay clean, and physically pure and mentally and spiritually pure as well. Then reading Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is really important. We know from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that if you read Surah Al-Baqarah, Shaitan cannot enter your house for 3 days. Now many people find this very difficult. Well, how can we read Surah Al-Baqarah? Fine, don't read it yourself, but at the very least, this is something we can all do. Get a cassette, get a CD of Surah Al-Baqarah. You can play it in your house at least once a week. That's not too difficult. Even if you can't sit there the whole time, you're a working woman for instance, so you can start playing it in the morning, and by the time you come back, it will have finished. But it's important for keeping your house clean of jinns. Now we come to the most important protective measure of all, words. Remember, magic is words. Most of it is words. So you fight fire with fire. If words are coming at you, you hit back with words. Satan's words are coming at you, hit back with Allah's words. Which of Allah's words? This includes Surah Al-Falaq, Surah An-Nas, Ayat Al-Kursi, then morning and evening du'as, and especially the du'as that we have been taught by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as part of our daily routine. Don't dismiss these du'as as boring or tedious or just a waste of time. What difference does it make? I'll read Bismillah. No, take the trouble of learning the du'as in the words taught to us by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because literally they are going to fight back that magic that's trying to affect you. They're going to create a shield of protection around you. For instance, the dua for leaving the house, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allahi wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the name of Allah, I rely upon Allah. There is no power or strength but with Allah. The minute you say this dua, your shaitan's mouth is silenced. He cannot speak to anyone, the devil who is with you. And what's more, the angel says, you have been guided, Allah is enough for you, and you have been protected. Don't forget the dua for entering the house, a very significant dua, because when you enter your house reading this dua, saying assalamu alaikum loudly, no devils can enter with you. Otherwise they can all enter with you. All the devils that you picked up along the way, they can all enter with you. Then entering with your right foot forward, then especially the dua for entering the washroom, because this is again a place of impurity, a place that jinns love. And this is why the dua is also Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Allah, I seek your protection from the male and female impure devils. A very important dua to remember. If you don't know them, learn them. Now what happens if you see someone who is troubled or who is going through this terrible affliction? The first thing you must remember is that if you ever gloat over someone's misfortune or laugh at them, oh, I knew someone would get her in the end, or something spiteful that, you know, serves her right, then remember, it can actually recoil upon you. Never ever commit this callous mistake that you laugh at someone else who is in distress, or make fun of them, or assume that this is a punishment for their sins. Never be so hard-hearted. In fact, we are taught a beautiful dua, and a dua that actually engenders within you a fear of Allah. Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma abtalahu bi. Praises are for Allah who saved me from what this person is afflicted with. Now this is true iman. That you're not being complacent here, that, you know, I'm so pious, no one can get me. No, you are actually praising Allah who has saved you and has tested that person. And you're reminding yourself, it's just a test. You're being tested just as that person's being tested. Their sabr is being tested, your shukr is being tested, their fortitude is being tested, your compassion is being tested. Are you going to be compassionate to that person, or are you going to be hard-hearted and callous and just laugh at them? Then another important way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us was through following a certain diet. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever ate 7 dates on an empty stomach in the morning, no pain or magic will afflict him that day. This is the gist of a narration. Now the hadith actually refers to ajwa dates, but it's not necessary that they have to be ajwa dates. They can be any dates. And if you can't eat 7, then at least you should eat 3. But this is a sunnah. It's definitely worth following all forms of sunnah. Then to eat honey. In the Quran, Allah describes it as shifa'ul linnas. It's healing for all mankind. And you know, we're so fussy. Oh, I don't like the taste of honey, and that's why I can't have honey. Well, you should acquire this taste then, because it's a food that will actually heal you. And magic is a form of illness. That's what it is. So honey can heal you and it can cure you. Then to use olive oil. The Prophet ﷺ recommended that we should use olive oil in our food. We should use olive oil for massaging, whether you're using it to have your hair massaged or your body massaged, because this is actually from a blessed tree, Shajaratin Mubaraka, and this is described in Surah An-Nur as the blessed tree, a pure tree. Then, for instance, to collect rainwater and to bathe in it. This has also been recommended as something that will help you in fighting against magic, because rainwater is, again, as Allah describes it in the Quran, نَزَّلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا. We have sent down from the sky water which is blessed. Now, apart from all of this, what else do we need to know about magic? A very important factor that you must remember is that different people are susceptible to different forms and different levels of magic. Magic is not going to work on everyone. There are people who will be protected by Allah. Allah just didn't allow it to happen. But why didn't Allah allow it to happen? Maybe because of some protective measure they were following. Maybe because of some of their habits that Allah loved so much that He protected them. And maybe because of their own temperament. Now, this is an important point that I'd like to make here. Shaitan encourages us to indulge in extremes. You've heard of manic depressives, you've heard of schizophrenics. And these are people given to violent, irrational behavior, swinging from one extreme to another, hysterically laughing one minute, hysterically crying the next minute, throwing things and breaking objects one minute, and you know, suddenly they're smiling like little lambs. And you can't seem to pinpoint what's the reason for these mood swings. Well, remember, irrational extremes, whether you're hysterical about laughing, or you find it very easy to start crying and you can weep for days on end, or you lose your temper very quickly, you know, people boast about this. Oh, I just lose my temper. It's nothing to boast about. It's from Shaitan. All these forms of extreme behavior are actually increasing your vulnerability to magic, because these are all forms of satanic behavior. Shaitan was an extremist, and the Quran teaches us moderation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us moderation. Khairul umuri awsatuha. The best matter is that which is the most moderate. Be moderate, and moderation is best lived through Quran and Sunnah. So remember, forms of behavior, your own temperament can actually either protect you or, God forbid, expose you more to magic. So if you have that sort of temperament that's very passionate or that's very violent, try and control it. And the best way of controlling violent anger, irrational rages, is by following the Sunnah. Now, all these were protective measures. What happens to some unfortunate soul who is actually afflicted? Because this is the time when people suddenly are very interested in finding out about magic. Suddenly they want to know what is the cure, what is the solution, because they've never bothered to find out before. They never thought it would happen to them. This is what happens to every person who goes through this terrible calamity, that I never thought it could happen to me. I never thought it could happen to my child. I never thought it could happen to my husband. How could it? You know, we're so good and we're so pious and we pray and we read the Quran. So how could Allah let this happen to us? You know, this is why Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says that everyone used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about good, but I used to ask him about evil so I could avoid it and I could know how to deal with it. And this is true wisdom, that you take precautions before that calamity hits you. You know, that you have prepared for that contingency. You know what you're supposed to be doing. So what is it that you're supposed to do if, God forbid, this calamity afflicts you? The first don't, and I'll mention the don't before I go into the do's. The first don't is, don't ever, ever go to a soothsayer or an astrologer or someone who is giving you non-Quranic solutions or non-Sunnah solutions. So please never make this mistake. Always make sure that if you are going to someone for advice or solutions, that it's someone who's going to tell you things which are based purely on Quran and Sunnah. Ask to see the references. Be quite sure that the cure that you're taking is absolutely accurate. I mean, think how particular we are about taking medicines. Any medication of any sort, if you haven't heard of it before, you'll ask people who've taken it. You'll read the prescription. The first thing any educated person does is you open the prescription or that little paper that comes with that medicine. You read up on it. You read up on the side effects. You read up on what this contains, on what can happen. Even if you don't have medical training, any layman will also, with a modicum of intelligence, pick up that paper and at least open and read what's going to happen to you. So this is the most important don't, that don't ever go to such people who are going to get you involved in greater trouble. Remember, magic could mean that you're losing out on your sanity, on your health, on your wealth. Don't lose your iman. What are the do's then? What are we supposed to do if, God forbid, it happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us several protective measures. I mentioned one, such as eating dates. What else? Another solution that we've been taught is that you take 7 green leaves of a loat tree. Now remember, a loat tree is also used, you know, when you're bathing the corpse, then you take leaves of the loat tree and they're also crushed and they're used because this is like a natural disinfectant. In those days, there was no soap, so the leaves of the loat tree were actually used like a disinfectant. This is an important point to remember. 7 green leaves of a loat tree, you take them, you crush them with a stone, and then you take that powder and you put it in water. And you add as much water as you require to take a bath with that water. In other words, there should be enough water that you can actually bathe with it. Then what you do is, you read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and you read the following verses. First extract is taken from Ayatul Kursi, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Allahu La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Hayyul Qayyum, La Ta'khudhu Sinatan Wala Nawm, Lahu Ma Fis Samawati Wa Ma Fil Ard, Man Dhal Ladhi Yashfa'u Indahu Illa Bi Idhnihi, Ya'lamu Ma Bayna Aydihim Wa Ma Khalfahum, Wa La Yuhituna Bi Shay'in Min Ilmihi, Illa Bi Ma Sha'a, Wasi'a Kursiyuhu As-Samawati Wal Ard, Wa La Ya'uduhu Hifzuhuma Wa Huwa Al-Aliyyul Azim. Allah, there is no God but He, the All Eternal, the All Sustaining. Neither slumber overtakes Him nor sleep. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. Who is it that dares intercede with Allah but with His consent? He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and they cannot encompass any part of His knowledge except as He allows or as He wills. His throne encompasses the heavens and the earth, and their protection does not fatigue Him, and He is the Exalted, the Almighty. Then you read these verses, 117 to 122 of Surah Al-A'raf. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa awhayna ila Musa an alqi 'asak fa idha hiya talqafu ma yafikun. Fa waqa al-haqqu wa batala ma kanu ya'malun. Fa ghulibu hunalika wa anqalabu saghirin. Wa ulqiya as-sahratu sajidin. Qalu amanna bi rabbil alamin, rabbi Musa wa Harun. And we revealed to Musa alayhi salam that throw down your staff, then behold, it was swallowing all that they had invented. Thus the truth was established and all that they were doing was nullified. They were defeated at that point and they returned disgraced. And the magicians were thrown down in sajda. They said, we believe in the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Musa and the Lord of Harun alayhimus salam. Then you read verses 79 to 82 of Surah Yunus. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال فرعون ائتوني بكل ساحر عليم فلما جاء السحرة قال لهم موسى ألقوا ما أنتم ملقون فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر إن الله سيبطله إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين ويحق الله الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون. And Pharaoh said, bring to me every knowledgeable sorcerer. When the magicians came, Musa عليه السلام said to them, throw down what you will throw down. When they threw, Musa alayhi salam said, what you have brought is magic. Allah will destroy it. Allah does not allow to prosper the deed of the mischief makers. Very important verse. And Allah establishes the truth with His words, even though the criminals should dislike this. Now you can see how the verses are all based on the same theme, destruction and the ultimate absolute ruin of magic. Then finally come verses 65 to 70 of Surah Taha before you read the vocals. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى. They said, O Musa, إِمَّا أَن تُلْقِيَا. Either you throw, وَإِمَّا أَن نَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَلْقَى. Or we are the first to throw. قَالَ بَلْ أَلْقُوا. Musa alayhi salam said to the magicians, no, you throw. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. Then behold, their ropes and their sticks, it appeared to him from their magic as if they were running. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. Musa alayhi salam experienced fear within himself. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. We said, do not be afraid. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. You are the one who will succeed. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Throw down what is in your right hand, it will swallow what they have done. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ. What they have done is the plot of a magician. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Most important of all, the magician can never succeed from wherever he comes. Words of power, words designed to inspire confidence in Allah. لَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The magician can never succeed wherever he comes from. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. The magicians were thrown down in sajda. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They said, we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. After reading all these verses, you're then supposed to read the vocals. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. After you've read all of these verses in one stretch, you blow on the water. Then you take 3 sips from that water and then you bathe in that water. Alright, so this is the method. 7 green leaves from the low tree, crush them, then add that powder or whatever to water. Add enough water, so much so that you'll be able to bathe with it. Read all these verses on it, blow on it, blow on that water, take 3 sips, and then you bathe in that water. You can actually repeat this action 2 or 3 times if need be. And this is one of the most effective methods of actually eliminating discord between a husband and his wife. I mentioned that this is one of the most common forms of magic. So if, for instance, you suspect that magic is being done upon your marriage, then this is an action that you can actually have recourse to. Ibn Baz mentions this in his fatawa. Notice one thing. The cure, interestingly enough, in this is that the victim is taking a bath. Again, the concept of purity versus impurity. This is now physical purity and spiritual purity, that you are using water that has natural disinfectant in it, the leaves of the low tree, and also has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words blown upon it. In other words, this is spiritual plus physical. Again, remember, this is what magic is. It's the combination of your body and soul. Something's being done to your soul that's affecting your body, or vice versa. Now, remember, when you've read these verses on water, but you can read them all the time. You know, you can learn them out. For instance, the verse that I read out, La yuflihu sahiru haythu ata, that the magician can never succeed wherever he comes from. Read it with conviction, read it with understanding, and keep on repeating it. Because magic is words, so you have to fight back with Allah's words. Then apart from this, you can do, for instance, just do dam of these verses on water and just drink that water every day. You don't have to have a bath every time. Then another important dua that you can read to combat magic is Musa alayhi salam's dua again, read on a different occasion though. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir, that oh my Lord, indeed I am a beggar for whatever good you send down to me. This is again a beautiful dua. You see, what magic is designed to do, it's designed to cripple you. It's designed to paralyze you. It's designed to make you a helpless little victim of the magician. He's trying to play God. So every time you stress your iman, your dependence upon Allah, you are negating his magic. That whatever he does to me or she's doing to me, they can't get at me. They can't get at my spirit. My spirit is free. They can even kill my body, but they can't get my spirit. You know, like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If you take it in this context, this is how you fight back. This is the best way of fighting back. They're trying to destroy your life, but you're free. Your spirit is free. It belongs to Allah. And then, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, guide us to the straight path. Then, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, pick out these words from the Quran, read them with conviction, read them with meaning. And then, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, oh my Lord, forgive. Forgive me, Allah, and have mercy on me. You are the best of those who have mercy. Don't expect mercy from that magician. He or she is not going to show it. And why should we beg people for mercy? Mercy comes from Allah, Ar-Rahman. And then, what else? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu actually also told us certain other verses from Surah Al-Baqarah. First 4 verses of Al-Baqarah, till ulaika humul muflihun, that describe the characteristics of the muttaqin, ayat al-kursi, and the next 2 verses that immediately follow ayat al-kursi, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, those 2. And then the last 3 verses of al-Baqarah, walillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Now, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, as you all know, was one of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, whoever reads these verses at night, Satan cannot enter his house that night or that day, and Satan or anything evil cannot harm his family. So you can read this as protection for yourself and for your family members. Remember what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read at night before sleeping? He used to read Ayatul Kursi, he used to read the dua for sleeping, and he used to read Mu'awwidhatan, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, which were actually revealed upon the occasion that magic was done upon him, teaching us, teaching the ummah, a solution for magic. And he used to blow on his hands and rub his hands all over his body. Again, this gives you a feeling of protection that Allah's with me, Allah's words are with me. Then remember that the Quran is the best form of healing for the poison that has attacked your body. The best form of healing. You know, this is a natural cure. In fact, Allah says, نُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, we send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers. You know, people who are actually afflicted with magic go through terrible agonies that you can't even imagine. Extreme depression, extreme fear, extreme terror. They'll have terrible nightmares sometimes. Sometimes they can hear voices no one else can hear. Sometimes they can hear laughter. So you need to counteract those satanic voices with the word of Allah. Another best great way of protecting yourself from magic is listen to the words of Allah. Listen to the Quran. Listen to the Quran being recited. You know, you should have it playing in your home. It should be playing in your cars. So all around you, the very air is resounding to the sound of Allah's words. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came and Aisha radiallahu anha was doing dham upon a woman. Now what exactly is dham? Dham is when you read certain words and blow upon either the person or on water. Now dham is allowed, but it depends on what the words are that you are actually reciting. You need to be very careful. For instance, you've heard of a dham that everyone in your family does. Please make sure that you know what the words are and what you're reading. Because the Sahaba, as I mentioned, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked in and Aisha radiallahu anha was doing dham upon this woman, he said, Ali, jiha bi kitabillah, cure her with the book of Allah. In other words, read Quranic verses upon her. And Fatiha is one of the recommended dhams. And it said on another occasion, some people came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to do dham upon people in the days of ignorance. Are we still allowed to do it? He said, I want to see your dham. And he read them all and he allowed those ones to be retained that didn't have words of shirk or didn't have words of kufr in them. And you need to be careful about the sort of dham that you're reading. Now, the purpose of this talk was not to give you all a sleepless night. So if you wake up with a headache tomorrow, God forbid, you go, oh no, I've got it. No, that's not it. In fact, paranoia is extremely forbidden. You know, it's discouraged in Islam because paranoia, this is a form of terror. This is again Shaitan getting at you. Whether someone else is or isn't, he's got you. He's managed to terrify you. You know, as Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. Shaitan succeeds in frightening his friends. That he makes cowards of us all, that we're always terrified, starting at shadows, don't walk under a ladder, don't let a black cat cross your path. These are all ridiculous forms of superstition. And in a way, all forms of shirk. The mu'min believes in taqdeer, and taqdeer is settled by Allah and no one else. Now, the question arises, and in fact, there's one dua that I would like to mention here, that if you see a bad dream, then there's a beautiful dua we are taught, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من غضبه وعتابه وشر عباده ومن شر الشياطين وأن يحضرون. Sometimes you have a terrible nightmare and you wake up sweating and shivering. This is a dua you should read. I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah from His anger and His chastisement and the evil of His slaves and from the whisperings of the devils unless they come near to me. What happens sometimes, you suddenly have a waswasa, like people who are sensitive, you know, they go, oh, I have a bad feeling. I just have a bad feeling today. So if you have a bad feeling, don't overreact, don't panic, don't get hysterical. Instead, read Mu'awwidhatain, read Surah Al-Falaq, read Surah Al-Nas, blow over yourself. Read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Sit down, calm yourself down, read the Quran. And you can read the dua that I mentioned that Ka'b bin Ahbar taught us. And once you read all this with conviction, then inshallah, nothing will be able to harm you. The question that arises is why? Why did Allah allow all of this to happen? It seems so unfair, doesn't it? How can someone innocent be made to suffer through sheer cruelty or malice or envy on the part of someone else who just can't bear to see anyone else happy? Why? Why is it allowed to happen? And answer to this is as simple as you can ask a question, why is evil allowed to exist? Why was Shaitan allowed to exist? It's the same answer. It's all a fitna. It's all a test. We can't expect paradise on this earth. I mean, if there were no evil, if there were no magic, if there were no horrible people out there, then this would be paradise. The whole point of this dunya is that it's an examination hall. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of pain. It's a place of sorrow. And you're being tested every minute of the day. And remember, and this is very important, and this gives you really great courage, that he is being tested and he is actually failing the test. I mean, your sabr is being tested. If God forbid you're going through this situation, your sabr is being tested, your iman is being tested, but they've lost their iman. I'd like to end with reading out the last part of verse 102 of Al-Baqarah. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَدُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. The magician is learning something that's harming him. It's never going to benefit him. Now, doesn't this seem like a paradox? Ostensibly, the magician is one. He's making his victim suffer. She's not getting married, or she's not having a kid, or whatever it is that he's trying to block. But Allah says, and Allah knows best, that he is actually suffering himself. Why? لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَقٍ. He will have no share in the hereafter. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الشَّيْءٍ مِنَ السِّحْرِ قَلِيلًا أَوْ كَثِيرًا كَانَ آخِرُ عَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Whoever learns anything of magic, learns, not teaches, learns, whether little or much, whether you've read up just one chapter, you've gone through the whole book, كان آخر وعدي من الله. It is the end of his covenant with Allah. This is kufr, open kufr. He has broken his pact with Allah, not a Muslim. Now, there are other forms of magic. For instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who goes to one who claims to tell about matters of the unseen and believes in him, his prayers will not be accepted for 40 days on the ration of Muslim. This is when you go to people who are giving you haram solutions for magic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the interpretation of omens from the flight of birds, the practice of divination by drawing lines on the ground, and taking evil omens are all practices of the diviner or sorcerer. And most frighteningly, for our youth of today who are obsessed with astrology and horoscope and what's your star, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the narration of Abu Dawud, he who acquires a branch of the knowledge of astrology, this is what astrology is about, horoscope, learns a branch of magic, of which he acquires more as long as he continues to do so. In other words, it's a major sin to even learn about astrology. And the common complaint is, oh, it's just for fun, I don't really believe in it, I'm just, you know, just a hobby, I've always done it. It is a very big deal, so stay away from it. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on one occasion, avoid the seven destructive things. When he was asked what they are, he said, shirk, associating anyone or anything with Allah. Number two, magic, practicing sorcery. This is number two. Imagine, it's right after shirk. That tells you how grave a crime this is. Number three, killing of someone without a just cause that Allah has forbidden. Number four, devouring the property of an orphan. Number five, eating interest. Number six, fleeing from the battlefield. Number seven, slandering chaste women who never even think of anything touching chastity and are good believers. Bukhari and Muslim. And I read out all of the sins so you should realize how heinous a crime this is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us many du'as that will actually protect us from even feeling frightened by magic. Sometimes you sense that someone's envious of you, or sometimes you sense someone's enmity, you know. Maybe you catch a look or a glance, or you hear threats that someone has passed about you that, oh, I'll teach her a lesson and I'll make her regret and I'll make her suffer. Never ever be frightened. Never waste your life uselessly brooding or wondering or worrying about what's going to happen to you. Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people who do magic are learning something which will harm them, never benefit them. They have learned, whoever buys it, he will have no share in the hereafter. Evil is that for which they sold their souls. They don't realize it, but they parted away their souls just to make one human being suffer. If they but knew, if only they had believed and been Allah conscious, a reward from Allah would have been better. If they but knew. Remember, dua is the most powerful weapon that we have been taught. Use it against your enemy and against the enemy of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allah accept from us and forgive us. Allah protect us from magic, protect us from the shayateen, protect us from the evil, protect us from our own evil, and cover us and enfold us in your mercy and compassion. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك وصلى الله على النبي الكريم واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين
واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون.